Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Selena. I don't remember the facing the wall or anything. Today we're going to be talking about passing the baton. We want to look at the scripture, Proverbs 13:22. It says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." When we look at this scripture, it basically just looks, I mean, the first part of it and the second part, it says a good man plans for not only his children, but his children's children. But the sinner, I like what Posim said just now. You know, he hoards up wealth for himself, but in the end, it will be stored up for righteousness as well. The Lord will have it his way. But today we want to look at the first part of the scripture. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. When I first looked at this, this was my first understanding of this. So if I want to leave inheritance for my children, I got to save up like that. So if I want to leave up inheritance for my children's children, must save up like that lah. Correct or not? Must more. Then after that, I think about it. There's something wrong with that thinking also lo. Because when I leave it for my children, if my children embezzled it, it doesn't matter how much I have, how much I have left them, or for my children's children. But if my children don't know how to take care of it, it will be gone as well. So basically, I feel that this verse teaches us what it means to be passing the baton. Yeah. And I was just thinking as passing the baton, mostly what comes to mind is the relay, right? The four by one. So, if we don't think about passing the baton, this is what happens. Let's just say the first runner runs to the second runner, and then the second runner knows how to accept the baton, but has no idea how to pass it on. In the end, you don't win the race as well. So, I was thinking practically, we and our children, we teach. We don't only pass knowledge to our children. We need to make sure they know how to pass that knowledge to their children. So teaching them not only God's values, but them understanding that they have to pass it on. Same as in church, like in our various ministries, doesn't matter which ministry you're in. Like for me as a CG leader, I was thinking, what I have to do, this is like theory lah, okay? Practically, what I would have to do is not only pass on knowledge when let's say we're going through a Bible study, not only pass on the knowledge and the revelation, but make sure that my CG members know how to pass it on as well. That means they know how to bring in their friends, teach it to their friends. And it doesn't mean that they have to be doing what I'm doing, but in their own ministries, like in the worship ministry, for them to be able to grow in that ministry and the people under them as well. So I was looking at this, and there are two things which come to mind. First of it, we look at timing, okay? As I said, you know, the baton passing, there's this thing called, I think, the 20-yard exchange zone. You know, the zone where you say up, and then the person has come up. I mean, you cannot just simply pass baton whenever, okay? The whole track, there's this zone where you have to pass it. And if you exceed that zone, you're disqualified already. So we want to look at timing as well. Like, in our personal lives as well, there will come a time where you will pass away. So there is a deadline on when you need to teach your children how to pass it on. Same as for our ministries. When the Lord says, step up, we step up. When the Lord's, you know, when we have to move on, we move on. So we need to catch it as well. And, don't hoard what you have, but pass it on. And the last thing which I want to touch on, it's very hard to talk about this because it's something which I'm very bad at. How we can get the timing right and everything, but how exactly do we want to do this passing the baton thing? There's no easy way. It's all about building relationships. And oh, when I talk about building relationships, we just look at when we pass the baton itself. You need to work with your partner, whoever you're passing it with. I remember when I did it when I was in school. We had to do it so many times. Like, you know, some people are left-hander, some people are right-hander. You know, when to go up. So basically, I really needed to know her and her quirks and her weirdness sometimes. You know, like how to handle it. Like, you know, sometimes I'm not loud enough. And we just had to work together a lot in order to get it right. And I was looking at Jesus as well. He had to spend a lot of time with the 12 disciples. He passed the baton to his 12 disciples, and that's why we have church today. So, as I look at it, like in the context of church as well, the context of personal as well, you're going to have to spend a lot of time with your children in order for them to listen to you, in order for them to want to pass on whatever godly values. And like in CG, I'm very task-oriented, basically. It's like, I want to get something done, and if I like get a revelation, I'm like, yes, I just want to pass it on to my CG. Like, you know, they should get it as well, and they should, oh, as well, no? So, I remember telling that once to my aunt, and she told me, Claire, it doesn't matter what the message is, in the end, if they don't feel the connection with you, if they don't know you, they're not going to listen. So, for me, that's really very difficult. Building relationships, just, spending time with people and talking to them. But this is one of the main things the Lord spoke to me about. And, I was looking, just a short story before we close. I was looking at all the relays in the Olympics, and there was this in 2004, the Olympics in Athens. I think a lot of y'all know who Marion Jones is. The American team. So, the night before the relay, they were the fastest team basically who qualified. The day itself, she was the second runner. And they were doing really, really well. By the time it reached her, they were first. So basically she ran and everything was going so well. Until she reached that exchange zone, and there was just a problem with the passing. First time, her next teammate was Lauren Williams. Yeah, Lauren Williams. Cannot pass. Second time, third time, fourth time, passed. But already out of the zone. So when I was watching it, we know that they were the fastest team. Skill-wise, capability-wise, all of them were the fastest, but cannot win because of problem with passing the baton. So, yeah. Passing over to Pastor Ed.
Thank you very much. We are going through a series on our DNA, and we have come to passing the baton. We've got one more left to go next week. We trust that the Lord will instill this in our hearts, these are some of the things that we as a church and as believers want to grow together. So let's just read that, our summarized version. Passing the baton, we empower people to run the race that God has placed before them so as to raise up champions. What we want to do as a church and as individuals is to continue to empower those who come after us. Hebrews chapter 12 says this in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Today I want to share with us three things that I want us to take home and just consider and chew upon, and hopefully be able to instill that as part and parcel of our life when we think about passing the baton. Let me tell you a story I told before, but for the sake of some of you who haven't heard this story before, Claire was sharing with us, you know, in was it schooling days? You know, she used to run a relay race and you have to pass the baton. Now, I have, in my schooling days, only run a relay race once. Okay? I always ran the hundreds and did long jump, never run relay race. Because, not good enough. and so, there were at least four people that were better than me. And faster than me, so they ran the relay race, I didn't run. There was one particular year in school where, you know, sports day and everything was going on. And so this house captain came to me and says, hey, you know what, this particular guy in our relay team cannot come today, so you are running. You know, so I was like, well, I have never run a relay race before. So they said, okay, you be the first runner. That's the easiest. So they reshuffled the lineup so that I would take the easiest role. So within, and this was last minute. Okay. Last minute, the guy, for whatever reason, I don't even remember the reason right now. For whatever reason, he could not come for the race. And so he said, no, the names are not important. You know, it's just the house color, so whoever runs doesn't really matter. Okay, that was my first argument. Hey, but I'm not registered. He said, relay race doesn't matter one. You know, we are in the same house, so we just run. Okay, so he reshuffled the lineup and he says, you be the first runner because that's the easiest. And all this happened, you know, like maybe 10 minutes before the race, you know. So he said, this is what you need to do. You know, you just go to the lineup. When the gun goes, you run. That's what he said, you know. And then he said this. Now, when you reach the second runner, okay, when you're close enough to him, you say up. And then his hand will come out. You put the baton in his hand and finish. That's all you need to do, okay? So, 5-minute lesson on how to run a relay race. And I ran. Okay, so about 5 minutes later, we had to line up. First runner. How many of you know the first runner and the last runner are the most important runners? Yeah. So, I was the first runner because it's the easiest thing to do. You don't have to collect the baton, you just need to pass it. When the gun went, I ran as hard as I could. Ran as fast as I could. When I saw the fellow in front of me, my teammate, I saw the fellow in front of me, and when he started running, I ran even harder. When it was time to pass the baton, I shouted as loud as I can because everybody was shouting out. Up, 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 up everywhere. So we all just go. And I didn't know if it mattered or not. I shouted as loud as I can. His hand came up. I put the baton in his hand and off he went. And then I stood there like everybody else and watched him continue the race. At the end of the race, my teammates all came up to me. I mean, by that time we were at the finishing line already. My teammates came up to me and said, Edward, what happened to you? I wasn't fast enough. They expected to get a medal. They were all really upset. You know, they came up to me and said, hey, Edward, what happened to you? I did exactly what you told me to do. And that was my one and only experience in passing a baton, a relay race. But I learned many lessons from that. And today I want to share some of them. And what the Bible tells us about the race. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We need to throw off everything. But it says this, you know, that we need to run the race that is marked out for us. Each one of us, God has placed a race that is marked with our name on it. And it is not like what I went through, you know. 5 minutes time, hey, you're going to run the race, you know. This is, in the next 5 minutes, this is what you do. 5 minutes instruction on how you're going to run. And obviously, I didn't do well because there was no preparation, there was no planning, and there was no practice whatsoever. But God has marked out a race for each and every one of us. And He has designed, He has is putting it in front of us so that we run it well. Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, God comes to him. Now he's in the desert. God comes to him in the burning bush. He goes up, has a look at the bush. And, you know, God calls him from the burning bush. And then he goes up, and then God tells him that I have seen, verse 7 of chapter 3, I have seen the misery of the people of Egypt, I've heard the cry, and I'm concerned. And verse 8 says, I have come down, this is what God wants to do, to rescue them from the hand of Egypt and bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, verse 10, go, I am sending you. And God tells Moses, I have chosen a task marked out especially for you. And then if you read the rest of the chapter, right into chapter 4, you know, Moses gives a whole lot of excuses, 5 of them actually. You know, he says, you know, but, you know, what am I going to say, you know, if they ask, you know, I'm not good enough, you know, what am I going to do? And he goes on and on until God says, whether you like it or not, you're going. In a nutshell, he says that, okay, you cannot speak because the final excuse, he says, I cannot talk properly. And then God says, okay, Aaron is going to go with you. And he's going to talk whenever you can't talk properly. In other words, God said, whether you like it or not, this is your race. You're going. You are going. There is a race that is marked out for each one of us. We need to launch out into it. Number one, the first thing that I want us to realize and catch is that while there is a race marked out for each and every one of us, we need to launch into it. Because if we don't get our footing right, if we don't get ready and burst forth when the gun goes, so to speak, we're going to be left behind. And if you want to pass the baton, we need, first of all, to step in, to launch in to whatever God has placed before us. I imagine Moses, right? Now he's standing there, he's taking care of sheep, okay? And God calls him. There's this burning bush, and God says, this is what you need to do. And this big task he given to him. I want you to take all the people out of Egypt. And many times I've tried to put myself in that position. And I ask myself, what would I do? What would you do? You know, if God calls us, God calls me, God calls you and says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to deliver the people. Will we come up with excuses? Try to stall the situation a bit, lah. How about, you know, and we go on a debate with God. Not ready to launch in. Moses was not ready. And for many of us, I think many times we are, fear takes over, doubt comes in, and we say, God, how about the person next to me? How about you change the situation first before I launch in? Yeah. How about you bring an army with me before we go into Egypt? And we can come out with many, many creative ideas for God. But God says, you're it. Just me? Yeah, just you. And so Moses, of course, later on, because he didn't want to go, Aaron joined him. But that task was designed for Moses alone. And for every one of us, God is giving us, God placed before us, time and time again, a call, a race that is marked out for us. And perhaps even right now, there are certain things that, you know in your heart, in your spirit, that God has placed before you. But you've been stalling. And you've been giving excuses. But I want to challenge you today. Whatever God has placed in your heart, and some of these things, thank you, Lord. For some of us here, some of these things has been there, and if this is you, then the Lord is speaking to you, has been there for some time already. God has called you. You know that. And you're like, not doing anything about it. And so it's been there. It's been sitting there. And you have not launched in yet. And you have not said, yeah, I'm going to run it. You have not stood in line, get in position for that race. And it's just there. And every time God challenges you, you're like, I don't know what to do. You know, every time we say that, God says, I will be with you, I will lead you, and I will guide you. His promise is always with us. But for that point of time, that promise seems to go in and go out. You know, for that particular task, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about right now. When we go and do something else and, you know, something we want to do and we are fearful and then we cling on to that promise. God, thank you. You're always with me. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Huh? And then God says, hey, remember, I want you to do that. And that promise suddenly disappears, you know, becomes not so strong anymore. We forget that promise. And right now, the sense the Lord is bringing back some of these things to mind right now. You know, God has called you and you have not yet launched out. Today we need to decide. Yes, God, no matter how big the task may seem to be, I want to launch out. I want to make a change. I want to say, yes, this is the race that you have marked out for me. I am not going to disqualify myself. I am going to run it. Secondly, we need to live our lives well. We need to live it well. We need to launch in to what God has for us, and then we need to live our race out well. Paul In 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1, he says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Imitate me, Paul says. Follow my example as I follow Christ. The first couple of times I read this, and this question was asked of me, you know, can we say this out loud to anybody and everybody? Imitate me. Do exactly as I do. If we are honest with ourselves, most of the time, we dare not say, imitate me. Because we don't live lives in accordance to how God wants us to live. We don't run the race with excellence. And then you say, well, you live life your way, I live life my way. Or we end up saying, you go and seek God. Nothing wrong with that. But Paul was bold enough to say that I know I'm running the race in accordance to what God has in store for it, for me. And if you follow, you are on the right track. And we need to come before God and say, God, help me to stay on that right track, so much so I am ready, I am so confident to be able to say to others, imitate me. We need to live our lives well. Back to Hebrews. Hebrews says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If we want to run the race well, we need to do a couple of things. We need to throw off the things that hinder. In other words, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by the things that will hinder you from running that race. Throw it away. And here the writer of the Hebrews says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Throw it off. The things that hinder. Now there are two things that are brought here. Firstly, he mentions everything that hinders. Okay. He doesn't even say these are bad things. And then he goes on to say, and the sin that easily entangles. Now we can easily identify what sin is if we're honest with ourselves. Okay? Sin obviously hinders us from running the race. You know, entangles us. But sometimes there are good, seemingly good things that can take our focus away from what God wants us to do. Building a career, for example. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we can get so focused, so engrossed with building that career that our life from 8 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock, well, for some people, 10 o'clock at night is building that career. Nothing else happens. So these are the things that hinder from what God wants us to do for His kingdom. In a greater capacity. Now, I'm not saying that your career is a bad thing. It is a good thing. But don't let it distract you. Relationships is another one. Sometimes, you know, we can get so engrossed with that, we miss the race. We miss that direction that God has set before us. Good things. But it becomes things that hinder us. So we need to launch into what God has for us, and we then need to run it well. We need to live our lives well. Run that race well. At the end of my relay race, I don't know what happened, you know. Okay. Did I pass the baton too late? Did I not run fast enough? But what was important was this. All my teammates came back and said, what happened to you? That was the thing. That was the thing that told them that I didn't run it well. Below expectation. I mean, they could pick other people to run the race. But they picked me because they thought, at least in their mind, that I would perform to a certain level. I mean, if they have come back and said, well, we all did our best, that was it, huh? But they all came back at the finishing line to me and said, what happened to you? Saying that I did not run that race well enough, below expectation. They expected me to do much better. Hebrews tells us to put everything aside, the things that hinder and entangle. And then he says to fix our eyes on Jesus. Learn from him. We want to run well, we need to learn from him. And one of the things that he specifically mentions is this: you've got to learn to endure. Because the race is not going to be easy. You've got to learn to endure the hardships, the opposition from sinful men, James says, so that you will not grow weary in your heart, so that you can run. Many times when we decide to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, opposition comes almost immediately. Opposition comes through different means, through friends, through family, who will say, hey, why like this? Have you considered that or another path or this other thing that you should do? Opposition comes. But are we ready? Are our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we can endure? Put away, put aside the things that hinder, the sin that entangles. But yet at the same time, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, learn from him, so that we can run well, so that we can live our lives well, so that we can say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me. To the next person whom we are passing the baton to. Moses, God called him. And you read his story, and you read into Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. God speaks to Joshua and says, you know, Moses is dead. Now, you, your turn. Baton, pass on. Take the people, continue the race that Moses had started. The third thing, very quickly, that I want to share for each one of us is, number one, launch into it. Number two, live it. Number three, the third thing that we need to do if we want to pass the baton is we need to loosen the grip. We need to let go. We need to let go of the things that God has placed, first of all, in our hearts as we pass that baton on. And in letting go, a couple of things matter. And Claire has brought out two of those things which are very important in passing the baton. Building relationships, timing. I want to say this. There will come a time whereby you need to empower someone else. And that's what passing the baton is. You know, we want to empower. That's what our vision is, to empower people to run the race that God has set before him. All right? To be able to say, you know, your turn. You run. And when that time comes, we need to be able to let go and pass on. Moses passed on to Joshua. Elijah passed on to Elisha. Who will you pass on to? When the time comes to pass on, a couple of things happen. Number one, you will see, and this is the amazing thing about the relay race. You know, when we were kids, and when we run relay race, we never run when the person is reaching. We stand there, and the person come already, we take, and then we start running. All of us have done that before when we were little kids. When you grow a little bit older and you run a relay race, timing is everything. If you're receiving the baton, you must run with all your heart, even before the baton reaches you, and trust the next person to pass it to you. And I want to say a little bit about that first. Now, if you are the second runner or third runner or fourth runner in a relay race, especially of, you know, a 4x100 meter race, you've got to time yourself, know the person's speed that's coming to you, and time yourself and turn and run as fast as you can. Okay? And here's it. You have to run as fast as you can, trusting that when it is time, the baton will be passed into your hand. You cannot doubt, you know. You cannot say, oh, I better slow down a little bit so that I make sure I catch the baton. Alright? Two things come to play here. One is to start at the right time. Because if you start too early, you will go out of the passing zone. The whole team will be disqualified. Okay? So you've got to start at the right time. And then you've got to run as fast as you can, trusting. That trust allows you to run as fast as you can. Because if you don't trust the fellow is going to reach, you're not going to run as fast as you can. And then you're going to slow down, and that will affect the whole team. So as a receiver, and I believe that most of us, if not all of us, receive a baton from someone. There is, and there will be, ministries that will fall into our path, and God will tell us, I want you to take this on, the next one. You are running the next race. Baton pass to you. And when that happens, we've got to understand, number one, the timing of God. God calls us and says, hey, now. And we listen, we hear God, we try to understand what God is doing. But there will come a point of time whereby you gotta go. And this is not just launching out, you know. This is understanding God's timing, understanding the big picture of what God wants to do, and understanding that there is something that is going to flow down, that will flow through each one of us. And if we understand that and God calls us to do that, we've got to understand when is the right time to start your run. And as you run, begin to trust the person who's going to pass you the baton to be right there to receive it. I've talked to some of you. Some of you say, yeah, I believe that God is, you know, training me, wanting me to do sports ministry. Okay? Okay, we are very big with sports in this church. And for some of you, you're getting a little bit involved, a little bit here, a little bit there. Now, for those of you who say that, okay, at one point or another in your life, some of us are already running it. Some of us finish already. Well, hopefully not finish yet lah, you know, but towards the end of our race, you know, pass it on. For some of you haven't, you know that that's what you want to do. You're ready to launch in, but there will come a time whereby the baton is passed to you like that, you know, it's going to be like that. That quick. And you have to time yourself so much so that, yeah, if I'm going to run this race, okay, and for example, you know, sports ministry or whatever God is calling you to, position yourself so that when the time comes, you are ready to take off full speed. And trust the person that have gone before you, and also believing that God will open the way for you, that when the time is right, you hold the authority that will be placed into your hands. Working together and making sure that you are at the right time, at the right pace. And in that, my mind is drawn to Galatians chapter 5 verse 25. Where it says that we need to keep step with the Spirit. We need to keep step with what God is doing in our life. Keep in pace with what God is doing. The Spirit go one step, you go one step. If he's going two steps, you go two steps. If he's going two steps really fast, you go really fast. We need to keep step with the Spirit. And for those of us who are passing batons, there's another thing that we need to do. Sometimes we need to catch up, you know. You see this guy running off already and your feet, it's your last, you know, 5 meters or less. You have to put in everything you've got in that last 5 meters. Catch up and put it in the next person's hand. And so in that race, right, we are running, we are launching in, bursting. We need to run that race well, live it well. And then right at the end, we need to loosen our grip. We need to let go. We need to be ready to say, take it on. Your race now. And I believe that for most of us here, if not all of us, we fall under one or two categories, sometimes both. One, God gives us a vision, a call. And sometimes we get, oh, too big, God. Why can't I just do the simple things? You know, God says, no, this is your race. This is your race. And we need to be ready to launch out. And then when we are running, we need to look out for the next person that we can pass the baton to. Build that relationship. Make sure that timing is right. And make sure you train the person so that you are able to let go. And for some of us, we are also on the receiving end. Not only are we the first runner, we are also the second runner at the same time. And so we are receiving a baton from somebody else. And if you are receiving, then I say to you, to each one of us, we need to time ourselves right so that we can keep the pace, if not quicken the pace of the previous runner. Time yourself and trust your hand out so that the next person or the previous person can put that baton into your hand. And when that happens, you run the race marked out for you. And then we go through that whole cycle again with all your heart, putting aside that which hinders us, the sin that so entangles us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who endured, because you and I need to endure. You and I need to run that race with endurance and perseverance, and then pass it on to the next one. Paul, at the end of his race, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, said this, I have fought the good fight. Finish my race. I've kept the faith. In other words, he said that I have persevered until the end. I've run my race. I fought the good fight. Finished my race. Kept the faith. And we must, at the end of every race, not only at the end of our lives, okay? At the end of every race that God has placed before us, because God will place, I believe, many little ones amidst the one big one. Many little ones that we at the end of it must say, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, don't give up that race. Launch in. Live well. And then, when it's time, let go. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as our heads are bowed in prayer, we pray, Lord, that you would search our hearts. Father, bring to mind again the call, the race that you have placed before us. Bring that to mind once again if we have, Lord, put it aside. And we ask, Father, that you would fan that flame, revive us once again. That you'll stir in our spirit a desire right now to launch in, to live our lives well, to put aside the things that hinder us, the sin that so entangles us, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And Lord, to be running in step with your plan and your purposes. So Father, we pray that you minister to us right now as we give our lives to you afresh. For this we ask and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen.